This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome in to the Go 24/7 podcast on a Wednesday afternoon. Spring practice was this morning. My name is Bryce Kuhn, and that is Glenn West alongside me. Thanks so much for watching on YouTube or listening, whether that's in podcast form, anywhere that you get your podcast. We appreciate you if you like, subscribe, and follow us on all those platforms. Glenn, spring practice, day two of the viewing period for the media, as it feels like it's just been, we had the viewing period in week one of spring ball. Spring break comes for the players and the student-athletes, obviously. And then we turn around and we don't see the guys for a long time. We get back into the building today. Unfortunately, we didn't get to be outside. Seems like there's still some things they're trying to figure out. I know they had some construction going on with the outdoor practice field, hoping to be out there on Saturday. But we got to talk to some players. We got to see some things. We got highlights already up on the YouTube channel. Your thoughts on some of the minuscule takeaways. It wasn't a ton of information coming out of spring ball, but I think we each have some things that we learned from the players, but also kind of got to see in action.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a few things to kind of pick up on. I mean, don't know how long-term this will be, but we did not see Emory Jones, the right tackle, out there today. Next time we'll get with Kelly, we'll make sure to ask about Emory, and he might be back on Saturday, so it might not be anything serious, but certainly when one of your star offensive linemen is not there, you notice, and he was not out there for the 20 minutes of individual drills that LSU opened up to the media today. But I was mostly watching the defensive side of things today, and certainly a couple of takeaways that I had. I think probably one, you don't really get a good sense maybe of just kind of what these guys could look like in terms of 11 on 11, 7 on 7, 1 on 1 settings, but just kind of moving through individual drills, you can see the size and the length that somebody like Jarden Gilbert has, the transfer that they brought in from Texas A&M. I thought he moves around so well, and he's just a really kind of just polarizing athlete in terms of how he moves and what he's going to be able to do, I think, to really help this defense. And really, really liked the early signs and kind of the early intel out on what he's been able to do since spring practice started. So somebody that I definitely think is going to be a starter for this team, and every down kind of player for the Tigers come fall. And it looks like he's adjusting pretty quickly to all his new surroundings. A couple other just kind of smaller notes. Ahmad Bro, we saw working with, we had heard he was probably going to maybe move inside. That was one of the two names, Kimo Macagnoli from the offensive line shifting to the interior defensive line. But we had also heard Ahmad Bro was somebody that might dabble with some interior work as well. And at least for today, on the individual drills part of practice, he was working with the defensive ends and the edge rushers. So that was not, a part of the interior D-line work with Bo Davis and all his shouting and antics that Bo has been privy to doing here these first couple of practices we've gotten to see as media members. So those were probably the couple of the big, in terms of just practice takeaways from the practice on Wednesday. On Saturday we're going to get a full practice, and we're going to have a big deep dive breakdown into a lot of what we see. You know, Bryce and I will be out there. Sonny, we might be able to talk Sonny into driving in as well for that one. So, you know, we'll keep you guys all posted on the bigger takeaways that I think you can have from watching a full practice. But, you know, I think maybe the other one would be Kyle Parker. You know, you were watching the offense, and Kyle Parker was rotating in with Kyron Lacy and Chris Hilton as the first team receivers. So those are kind of a couple of the big ones that I had and that you had. I don't know how much we should be, you know, honing in on the practice today. I'm much more interested to hear about what each of us picked up on from the player interviews. I think we should start with you because you spent about 15, 20 minutes talking with Parrish Shand today, the defensive end, and just kind of your overall takeaways from that, because you know, he's somebody that I think a lot of people expect to be a big part of the rotation on the off the edge. And he gave you some really good insight about kind of what to expect there.
Yeah, you're going to learn tomorrow if you're, you know, listening this or watch this. We're recording this on Wednesday after Spring Bowl. You're going to learn tomorrow about why he bought a juicer on Amazon for $40 to really kind of get into the offseason and really more the mental side of the game. Great stuff coming from Parrish Shand. So tune in over at Go247 for that piece tomorrow. But the big takeaway, obviously, Glenn, is, you know, this new defense, this new defensive scheme, that's what everyone wants to talk about. What are they going to look like? Well, one thing that fans can expect to see differently, if they noticed it at all, is the Jack linebacker position is no more. It is just two defensive ends. Parrish Shand letting us in on that information. That's why the depth maybe looks a little bit more. We had seen guys that maybe are more comfortable at the Jack linebacker position, and then guys that maybe suited more for the defensive end. Now, when you think about that, you can think, okay, maybe one side has their hand up, the other one has their hand down in the dirt. Parrish Shand kind of let us know, hey, you got to learn how to play both. And Blake Baker, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't go as far as cross training because it's still the same position, but it's understanding when I'm on this side, this is what the play looks like. When I'm on the other side, this is how you have to do that, and mirroring that. So Shand let us in on that as well. And then, you know, I got the chance to ask him about a couple of the young guys and just overall the depth in the group. And I know you asked that as well. I mean, this is a unit that, of course, it's an easy thing to say, Glenn, that the pass rush, you know, and the edge rusher and defensive end position needs to be really good in order for LSU to compete in that 12-team playoff or for a spot in the 12-team playoff. But I know that seems obvious, but it really is kind of the fact that there's a bunch of names that could be thrown out there. And he mentioned not really anybody specifically, but just as a group, the competition there has been really, really good working with Kevin Peoples. He mentioned Peoples, you know, obviously a little bit different in terms of, you know, of a coach in Pete Jenkins, but there are some similarities. Peoples was with Pete Jenkins, understands that philosophy and that mindset as a coach, so that is carried over. And I think that's a positive because we go back to last year, obviously defense struggled. Like, the defense was not good. We all know that. They know that. There's no point in harping on that anymore. One of the biggest things, though, is that when Pete Jenkins did come in, we did see some, you know, minor, some micro improvements in specific guys' games and their knowledge of what they're supposed to do. So if Kevin Peoples is cut from that same cloth, I think that helps. And it provides some, another word that, you know, Brian Kelly loves to use, continuity within what they have going on. So excited to kind of see what this group looks like. And, you know, he mentioned too, Parrish Shand said this. He said, look, one-on-ones, that's where people feel like the money is made. And that's fine. He said, that's what everyone comes to watch. That's what they come to see. And they've been doing some of that. But he also mentioned the fact that during the team 11-on-11, when these guys are going at each other, the team periods in general, he said, that's really where Kevin Peoples is making the biggest difference. Understanding that when this guy, you know, to the inside of me is going to, run out and we're going to twist or we're going to stun or we're going to do something. He said putting that all together from the film room to individual to team period has been something they've really placed of high emphasis. And I think that LSU fans could sit there and say, yeah, that makes sense. They need to be better at that, whether that's defending the run, whether it's setting the edge, which LSU struggled with last year. It feels like it's quality competition in that room. And it feels like, too, Glenn, that you're seeing guys – look, Parrish Shand was very humble about it. He said, I don't know who – you know, I don't think they've identified who they feel like they want to be the two bookend guys in the defensive line. It sounds like it's a good competition. It sounds like it's open competition, which I think if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this with the way that it was performed last year with a new coach, you want it to be a clean slate. You want it to be kind of fresh opportunity for everybody. And it seems like it's trending that way.
Yeah. I mean, look, that to me is probably one of the biggest takeaways we could probably have all spring. And just in terms of how that unit looks in terms of just how many guys are going to be rotating in. I think you look at some young guys like
the baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Boys to kind of assert themselves here this offseason. Mm-hmm. But you've got these veterans too that you can work in as well. Guys like Shand and Savion Jones and Braden Swinson. These are all guys that I think you could see, kind of get a healthy rotation each, healthy amount of snaps each as this kind of thing goes along. So very interesting there in terms of just how they are going to be utilizing those guys. I think some you could certainly see being more stand-up guys and instead of having their hands in the dirt. I think Howard and Womack, for example, I think are two guys that you kind of want that speed off the edge. Maybe not the guys that are setting the tone with the kind of their power rush moves, but just guys that can get back there quickly. And we were talking with Greg Penn a little bit today as well, the inside linebacker for LSU, and he mentioned like a big part of Blake Baker's scheme here and what they want to try to do is get tackles for loss and get into the backfield and push people or push opposing offenses back on the chains early in their possessions. And so, you're talking about, rushing a lot on first and second down. You're talking about getting guys, more athletes out there on the field. That kind of plays into, I think, what you were talking about there with Paris Shand. So very, very interesting stuff. I mean, I had a chance to talk when we had a chance to talk with Greg Penn, and he, I think a lot of the conversation with him kind of centered around just the Harold Perkins move and inside linebacker and how all those guys are adjusting. And this was something that's not new to them. I mean, they spent the entire offseason last year trying to teach Harold the position of inside linebacker. And I think, the one thing that I think that Greg Penn said that really stood out to me is I think that there's more awareness on Perkins' part now. You look at him and he looks a little bit more assertive on what he wants to do. And I think just kind of having the baseline understanding of the position maybe helped them, just start from a different spot this year with Blake Baker. And now you can really kind of reinforce some of the little minute details that's going to take for Perkins to take that next step. And I think when you watch that first game against Florida State, it was a player that was really second guessing a lot of himself and just kind of where he wanted to be, where he was supposed to be on the field, what he was supposed to be doing. I think that Blake Baker has proven that he can be an excellent communicator, somebody that can really kind of lock in on what it's going to take for Perkins to kind of take his game to that next level. And I think you're going to start to see that this spring. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be a complete turnaround. I think that might take a little bit more time still, and we might see kind of a more finished product in the fall. But if you can start to see some of the improvements from Perkins here this spring and just some more clarity and just decisive decision-making back there from him, that opens up a whole world of possibilities for LSU to do defensively.
Yeah, and one thing that Shan mentioned, because I asked him, and you know, just about the guys behind him, you know, As a good player always should, he deferred to his DC when talking about would it be a 4-3, a 3-4, a 3-3-5. He did not divulge those details. So you could tell he did say that. But he did talk about, like, just as a front seven, they've got to be better. And that was something that when Blake Baker got into, you know, with the guys. Because, you know, when Baker took the job, obviously he saw LSU when Missouri, you know, came up, or when they came up to Missouri. And then he knows some of these guys, you know, that were during his time there. Shan even mentioned this. He said when they first got into kind of the spring practice mode, a lot of the film that they had kind of pointed out, Baker had really, and this is a job of a good DC, and I'm sure DCs do this everywhere, had broken down a lot of the film and tailored it towards specific guys, you know, kind of saying, hey, here's 10 plays that, you know, I went back and cut up of, you know, player X. Here's four that are really good. Here's four that are not so good. And then, you know, here's two that maybe could have gone either way if you did this differently. And I thought that was really interesting. Just, you know, Baker kind of getting into the nitty gritty because it all follows what you talked about, putting these guys in the best spots. So a guy like Harold Perkins is comfortable. Like, I think that's the best word, that if Harold Perkins leaves spring football comfortable, then that's a success. It doesn't have to be eye-popping stuff or anything like that. And look, it's not going to be. Spring games, they're not going to divulge a lot in a spring game. You know, you're not going to be able to watch and see a ton of that. But I think if he can leave comfortable, that's going to bode well for when they head to Vegas on Labor Day weekend. That is a great stepping stone for me, at least. I would feel comfortable if Harold Perkins feels comfortable. I think that kind of sums that up. But, Glenn, I wanted to ask you this because – you got the chance to talk to Garrett Nussmeier. We did. And one, just phenomenal interview. He joked a lot about his athleticism. I think he's seen everything that has, you know, been put on social media. But what did you take away from just the personality that is Garrett Nussmeier? I think a lot of fans are going to be able to see that more in terms of he's a leader in maybe a different way than Jaden was. But this guy has QB1 leadership stuff just oozing from him. Like, he's the kind of guy that, look, knock on wood, he puts together a great season this year, does the one and done thing. I think NFL GMs and scouts are going to be impressed when they get him into a meeting room with the way that he talks about his teammates and just the game overall.
I mean, his dad has been a quarterback's coach for as long as Garrett's been alive, and he's been a really successful quarterback's coach for as long as Garrett's been alive. So he kind of mentioned that to us today. I mean, he's been around the game forever, for as long as he can remember. And so I think you see that, and even just in a 10-15 minute conversation like we had today, just the demeanor that he has in talking and kind of understanding his own game and where he knows this offense needs to be able to go with him under center. I think there's just a great understanding of all that stuff. And, you know, he's spent the last 3 years in this system. I mean, he's, yes, you lose Mike Denbrock in the offseason, but you have every single other position coach still on the roster on the offensive side of the ball. You add a guy like Slade Nagel, who's also been a very successful play caller and utilizes his offensive prowess as well. But I think that, you know, Nussmeier is kind of he's cut from a different mold, from the fact that he kind of understands what it's going to take for this offense to have success. And you listen to him today, and he talked a lot about just the comfortability with the offense, the mindset that a lot of these guys have. I mean, we were talking with Mason Taylor, and he told us that literally, I think a day or two, maybe three after the bowl game, Nussmeier was setting up throwing sessions three times a week with all these receivers, and they were doing that routinely through most of the last couple months, in addition to all the weight training work that they were doing. This is a guy who's on top of it. He knows exactly what is kind of coming his way, what to expect. And, you know, he's a first-year starter, but he's also got a lot working for him. He's got an offensive coordinator that he's been in the room with for the last 3 years. He's got receivers like Chris Hilton and Kyron Lacy, and you can throw Mason Taylor in there that he's worked with for the last couple of years, and he's very familiar with all their games. He's got an offensive line that's, you know, returning four or five starters, and he talked a little bit about today about DJ Chester and just how smart and cerebral he is as a center, and just kind of really glowed about the potential that he has in the middle of this offensive line. So look, I think there's going to be some differences in terms of how you get to finding an identity for this group, but I think the foundation isn't going to change. Like they have so much of the core still intact here from a coaching and personnel perspective that I do think that they're going to be just fine in terms of being able to pick up maybe where last year's offense left off and kind of finding a different way to have success as a unit. And I think it's going to start with the run game.
And to kind of piggyback off of that, I mean, not to veer too far away from Nussmeier, but I think it translates just well. I mean, we talked to Mason Taylor first, and I just think, and it's something that I pointed out when the hires were first made, and not that they don't, I'm not saying that Joe Sloan is not trusted or Cortez Hankton's not trusted, but the collaborative effort that I really truly think that this offensive staff is going to help. And Brian Kelly said it, you know, on that first spring media availability today, he goes, there might not have been a better situation for Joe Sloan to walk into. Sloan is obviously the familiarity aspect of what he's able to work with in this offense, knowing the personnel, knowing how these guys can mix and match and work. But then you add in a guy, you know, like a Brad Davis and a Frank Wilson who have been, I mean, Frank Wilson, you kind of feel like he's like the godfather of Louisiana football at this point. I mean, this guy knows everything there is to know. He gets it. They understand how to game plan and scheme. Cortez Hankton, I mean, look, there's a reason that Cortez Hankton was rumored for other jobs, NFL jobs, you know, during this hiring cycle. So you have guys that other people want on your staff, and I think it just makes the job that much easier. And then you mentioned Slade Nagel, who, you know, I asked Mason Taylor about that and said, man, you know, obviously, everyone knows what Mike Denbrock could do with tight ends and what he's done with tight ends over the course of his coaching career. But Slade Nagel brings that new, fresh perspective, which is sometimes a good thing. And I'll ask you this. I kind of – look, Mason Taylor's a stand-up young man. He's not going to throw anyone under the bus. I kind of got the feeling, Glenn, that what Sloan and what Nagel are bringing to this equation, and even Cortez Hankton to it to a certain degree, is – we're going to run some 12 personnel. He talked about that. And we're going to get these guys involved. I think last year they didn't get involved. It's just because you had a Heisman winning quarterback who that didn't fit his scheme. That didn't really fit what he was going to do. But I think Mason Taylor and a couple other guys in that room, just from what I were, you know, was hearing and what I was listening to, they could really benefit from this maybe tiny shift. It's not totally different, like you said, but maybe a tiny shift in the mindset of what this offense wants to do.
They're going to spread this thing around, and you just kind of – you go down the list of guys I think could be involved with this offense. You talk about Mason Taylor, but, you know, I think you could see this being – the way I kind of framed it to Taylor in our questioning today was, you know, last year you had guys like – you know, you knew Malik Nabers was going to be a guy. You knew he was going to be kind of one of the best in the country and probably the conference and be up there with all the awards. You thought that Brian Thomas would be able to take that next step. And, you know, LSU really leaned into those two last year. This year, you kind of come back and you don't have as much of that. I mean, you have guys that are very talented, but that are kind of in the same position that Nussmeier is in. They still have a lot to prove, and they have a lot of development and kind of, you know, just their ceilings haven't been set yet on their careers here. And you throw in guys like, you know, Chris Hilton and Kyron Lacy and certainly the two transfers in CJ Daniels and Xavion Thomas, maybe one of these freshmen like Carl, maybe one of these freshmen can come in and have a big impact. Maybe the second year player like Kyle Parker, who has been running first team on and off throughout the first couple of weeks of spring. Maybe he can take another step. Shelton Sampson's a name still to keep an eye on. There's a lot of guys that I think you could see them spread the ball out to. And you look at the bowl game against Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure 7 or 8 different guys caught balls in that game. And I think you're going to see a lot of that going forward. And it's going to look a little different. You know, I don't know that you're going to have the first round pick like Neighbors, like Thomas, and it's going to eat up a lot of the yards and a lot of the targets. And I think that's a really good thing for this offense. I mean, I didn't even mention the running backs and how you can utilize them in the passing game as well. I mean, like, there's going to be a lot of options for LSU. And I think that just in talking with Nussmeier and talking with Mason Taylor today, you really got a sense that this offense knows that, yes, we're losing a Heisman winner, we're losing a couple of first round receivers, but we don't think we're going to take that much of a step back, if any step back. And I think that, you know, coming from a group that was the number one offense in 2023, just has to feel really encouraging if you're a fan or just somebody just covering the team and all that stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of echo one more thing on that, the confidence level. Mm-hmm. What strikes me is just, just the leader. And what I mentioned, a couple minutes ago, when we were talking about whenever Garrett Nussmeier gets into these meetings, these pre-draft meetings, this is what's going to impress. The first thing, Glenn, that struck me was the selflessness. We already knew that because, he's taking a back seat to Jaden Daniels. He was willing to maybe, because you think about it, I mean, look, Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that you've been, like you mentioned, he's been around the game. It'd be really easy for him to say, I know how to play that quarterback position. But when Joe Sloan got to LSU, breaking down maybe some of the habits that he had, the bad tendencies, and rebuilding that back up, that's going to be a storyline that we're going to probably be talking about all this season. My biggest thing was the selflessness of when he talked about it's not about me. It's about the team. It's really about us as a group. This is what championship level football is supposed to look like. That's what I think he was getting at. Because like you said, when we posed the question to him of, what made you want to take on and do that kind of stuff, I don't think he's a guy that really cares about that. He doesn't have to be in the limelight. He doesn't need to have the headline read, Garrett Nussmeier sets up offseason workouts. No, he's been pretty adamant of like, that's just what you're supposed to do. When you're talking about an SEC, Glenn, that there's a lot of quarterback questions, outside of LSU of who's going to start where, we're kind of sitting where we sat 365 days ago. Man, LSU is in a really, really good spot in a new SEC with a guy with that type of mentality.
Yeah, he's learning from what he's seen in the past. I mean, this was something that Jaden Daniels talked about last year, how, they got all these guys back for this big season last year. And, he talked about wanting to get with them and throw with them and really kind of develop that chemistry even further, because when he was a transfer coming over, they didn't have a ton of time in the off season to kind of get that work in. And I think Garrett having that opportunity this year, he saw, somebody like Daniels do it last year. He saw the benefits that had for his game. It's smart. it's exactly what you want to see from your quarterback that, he's going to be starting here for the first time in his career for a season. And, that's an element that's been talked about a lot, this offseason, so we don't want to overdo it. But I do think the fact that he kind of comes in here and knows that he's the guy and knows that he is getting these reps. And he talked about it today even. Like, just he has the opportunity now to rep things out and to see what works, see what doesn't work, kind of get a handle and a grip on, who – wants the ball where he can kind of fit things in and, kind of utilize his strengths as a player, because it's all focused now on him and it's focused on his offense and kind of just the best ways to utilize him and these pass catchers and really the offense as a whole. I mean, it's every offense has to go through your quarterback these days. I mean, it's not, he mentioned the word us a bunch. That's the right thing for him to say, just kind of us, as a team, but it's got to go through him in a lot of ways. And I think he understands that. I think these offensive players want the ball a lot, understand that, because he's the one that's going to be giving it to them. But I think it's just a player that's very self-aware of what it's going to take for this offense to have success. And we got to see it. I'd like to see it a little bit more of a sample size here before we go crowning them a number one team or number one offense in the country. But I think they have the right mindset in place, the right foundation in place to get all that stuff done.
We might get a look at it, a little look at it on Saturday, Glenn. We get to sleep in a little bit more. 7:50 starts have been the typical time frame. 9:50 is when we'll get out there on Saturday, and then we get to watch the whole practice. So make sure you stay tuned to the YouTube channel for highlights, videos of that practice. We get the first 20 minutes, which are allowed for us to video and everything, and everything else. Glenn, my God, you better have your notebook and your scratch.
Have a notebook ready.
Notebook season. No phones the rest of the practice.
And then we'll get a good look at hopefully some recruits that are out there too. We'll maybe be able to focus our 2020 eyes on some recruits that may be watching practice, and that'll be all good fun too, to kind of see, get some updates there, because that's never slowing down. It's 365, 24/7. That's why we're called 24/7. That's a big deal around here, and we're going to get a lot of different recruiting angles here for you guys coming up.
Hey, we appreciate you watching. Appreciate you listening on this spring practice report. We'll have another one for you, hopefully on Saturday, as we kind of break down what we see, what we are able to talk about. And man, can't wait to talk about that. It is, Glenn, I say it's the best time of the year. I say that a lot because I just, it's a lot of fun. This week is nuts on LSU's campus with the amount of sporting events we got going on. Want to give a quick shout out. Men's basketball season did come to an end last night, although Glenn, not the way they wanted to end it. We'll probably hook up for a podcast where we just kind of recap the season, our thoughts, and heading into the offseason here very soon. Men's basketball season comes in. They do make the postseason. Women this upcoming weekend hosting the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. I got to give a shout out to what it is. Gymnastics, number one seed in the SEC, heading down to NOLA for their SEC tournament. And then baseball, they got this opponent called Florida. I heard that's a big matchup. They're going to welcome into the box, and good bounce back win against a solid Louisiana Tech team, that they got last night. So a lot of positives as we head into a crazy weekend. He is Glenn West. My name's Bryce Kuhn. We will catch you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast.
What if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up, or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.